Thank you.
Presentation. Item number four, we have updates from City College of San Francisco. Ahead of schedule.
Hello.
Hi, my name is James Son, and I work for the Facilities Division here at City College. I'll be giving you a briefing on the Facilities Master Plan process that we just concluded in April. A priority project list for a potential bond measure that has not been approved by our Board of Trustees, and then a small summary of the City College traffic demand management report that was finished earlier this year. I'm not going to go through all of the items on this slide, but it shows a facilities master plan re-engagement process step by step over the course of the last year. It included consultation with campus groups, a public forum, recommendations on projects, estimating, and ultimately resulted in a facilities master plan that was approved by the Board of Trustees in April of this year. The result of that facilities master plan was a very long list of requirements. Yellow buildings indicated here are anticipated new structures. Brown buildings are buildings that are already here. And the blue ones are buildings that are already here, but we anticipate to renovate at some point in the future. This is a very aggressive, very comprehensive list of projects for City College. Current estimate calls for it to be over $1.5 billion. We are not taking action on the full list of projects at this time. The facilities master plan was designed as a comprehensive assessment of existing and potential new structures, not necessarily an approved project list. The priority project list that I'm just about to show you has not been approved by the Board of Trustees. It has had two readings, or rather two opportunities for the board to opine on them, and we also had two public comment sessions as well. We have swing space, Diego Rivera Theater, turf replacement, steam building, and I'm not going to read the list to you, you'll get the idea. They have a conceptual budget attached to each project, as well as a start and end of construction anticipated year. It calls for escalation and administration, which is this line right here. And then it also calls for recognition of residual funds from previous bond measures. Graphically shown, this list looks like this. So it has all of the orange projects labeled as being part of this list. So that list adds up to about $840 million. If it is approved by the Board of Trustees, then this would be used to potentially size a bond measure. The next part of the briefing has to do with traffic and demand management and parking plan study that was completed earlier this year. This TDM is for the City College period. It does not countenance all kinds of other factors, although there is one element in here that talks to the parking impact or potential impact of this project, the Balboa Reservoir project. Lots and lots of words on the page, but basically, these are the six major TDM study findings. CCSF relies on public transportation. Many, many, many of our students and staff and faculty rely on it. time and convenience are the key drivers to behavior. We obviously discovered this through analysis as well as through surveys. Cost is very important, especially to students. Many drivers live near campus, which was not completely obvious, and then later slide I'll show you more detail of that. Transportation is important, but secondary to education. Focusing on transportation is key, but also the overall, but is secondary to the overall student experience. Parking is important to employees, but students value transit access more. And that is found out through hundreds of surveys that we received from employees as well as from students. For goals for the current TDM plan, reduce demand for parking through a variety of different methodologies and options and factors. Reduce driving alone, reduce drive alone trips to campus. This is a key step in reducing the campus's carbon footprint, and then maintain just and equitable access to CCF education. A little bit of detail on the composition of folks who travel to here. Employees, about two-thirds of them drive alone, whereas for students, only about one-third drive alone. And then you can see carpool, transit, and bike or walk as other options. This is an employee location by zip code. The green is 1 to 25 per zip code, and the red is 150 to 175 per zip code. So you can see we draw from a huge area of the San Francisco Bay Area for our employees to come work with us. Drive alone employee location, which is counterintuitive, but it seems that the closer folks live to CCSF and work at CCSF, the more likely it is that they will drive a vehicle alone. That's probably because many folks who live in outlying areas use BART or other transportation. This is the part of the study that looked at the various different impacts to parking. This will be difficult to remember because I don't remember sometimes. Scenario one is baseline condition, meaning no changes to campus or to lower reservoir. Scenario two includes baseline plus the PAEC. Scenario three is baseline plus Balboa Reservoir housing. And then scenario three is all three of them combined together for the impacts to parking. If you look at just the blue bars, that shows the number of the demand for parking on this campus during various times of the day, starting at 7 a.m. and peaking at 10, from 10 to about 1, and then leveling off toward the evening. The gray bar signifies the current scenario one supply, and then you see the other bars showing different scenario supplies. The kind of orangish column bars signify all but a typical demand week, and the blue bars signify the first 2 weeks of each semester, and that's when our demand for parking is the highest. A lot of letters, rather a lot of numbers on this, but the big one is, this is our supply, about 3,000. This is our demand, current demand. This is peak, this is typical, so that means we have zero and zero unserved demand in this scenario. If we go to this slide, it shows the impact of Balboa Reservoir housing. The supply has been reduced from 3,000 to about 2,000, and then the unserved demand for the first week first week of instruction, and then the regular demand for typical weeks of instruction at Ocean Campus. So what are our strategies to help mitigate transportation impacts and the unserved and parking need? So equitable access to education, create affordable options to encourage the use of transit, support walking, bicycling, and especially for those who live within that critical 3 miles of the campus where people are driving alone in many cases. Advertise and incentivize sustainable transportation, and then manage the existing parking supply. That concludes the briefing. I'm happy to answer any questions.
We've got a lot of them.
The CAC members will ask questions first.
Who would like to go first?
Actually, if you don't mind, I'd like to go after. Is that okay?
We do a lightning round afterwards anyway.
Okay.
You want to ask it now and then later. Okay.
Can you please put up on the board the document entitled Facilities Master Plan approved, the one that's approved?
This one?
That's the one. I'll have my back to it, so I'll ask questions this way. Isn't it true that this is the document that was approved by the Facilities Committee of City College?
Yeah.
And
yes, sir.
And that's after about two and a half years of research by the Facilities Committee?
I wasn't here when it started, but it was a very, very lengthy process.
Look at the north end there. It says west parking structure. Do you see that?
Yes.
How many cars were contemplated by this plan to be located there?
I believe it's 550.
And what is the height of the facility?
The west parking stretcher was supposed to be one subterranean and four above ground.
Did Reardon High School complain about that?
They have made comments, yes.
And what were those comments?
They were concerned with the intrusion of light and shade and potential wind.
I see, and do you know the total height of four stories, how high that would be?
Typical building footprint to foot, rather sill to sill, is between 12 and 14 feet. So four times either of those numbers.
Four times 14, okay, thank you. Four places on this document, the word future site is used. Two of them are on the west side, and two of them are sort of on the east side. Do you see that, future site?
Yes.
What was the contemplated use under this approved facilities master plan for the future site?
I don't have that information, I'm sorry.
Do you have any idea if there's discussions going on now at the City College level with respect to including any additional housing on this in this area?
That has come up in discussions at board meetings before. No action has been taken on that.
Do you know at least contemplated what the scope of how many units they're talking about for that site?
I'm sorry, I don't have that information.
Who would we go to find out the number of units that they're contemplating?
I can respond back to the CAC after I meet with the facilities.
If you could do that, I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Maybe direct your email to our chair, who's sitting to my left.
Yes, sir.
He is very good at keeping us informed. Next, I'd like you to turn to the document entitled Recommended Project List. Pardon? No. The map.
The
map. Do you have it up there? Because I can't see.
Yes.
It's here, too.
Okay. Oh, great. I have it in front of me. There goes my sign. Okay, now we have two different facilities. One is STEAM, and one is the PAKE. Do you see that?
I do.
Is it true that this document was just distributed recently, in the last month or so, to the Board of Trustees?
That is true, yes.
When it says recommended, who is recommending this?
That would be Senior Vice Chancellor Dr. Reuben Smith, along with consultation with the campus community.
So this document has not gone through two to two and a half years of analysis, has it?
I'm sorry, what did you say, Mark?
This document has not gone through 2 to 2.5 years of analysis like the other plan, has it?
This approved, or rather, this recommended priority project list is a subset of the facilities master plan, which was the previous map.
Okay, let's talk about the parking structure. It doesn't appear here. There's no parking structure.
Right. There is no parking structure in the recommended list that went to the Board of Trustees in the last 2 months.
Is there any parking proposed on that open space? You see the open space right above where the steam building is?
That will remain surface parking unless something... That will remain surface parking unless the Board of Trustees approves a project in that area.
How many parking spaces will there be on that surface parking?
I don't know. I mean, I can eyeball it, but I don't know how many that would be.
What's your eyeball say?
I would say it's around 350 spaces.
350, okay. Do you know, as to the steam building, do you know the square footage? I think it's 130,000 square feet in your report, is that correct?
Thereabouts, yes.
How tall is it going to be?
We're anticipating that it will be at least 5 and possibly 6 floors. Which would complement a more dense use of that space.
And then I just multiply 6 times 14 and I get my height. Is that correct?
Yeah, depending upon mechanical systems, but yes.
Okay. The pink building. I didn't see a square footage in your presentation. Do you know what the square footage of the new pink building would be?
The one that is being shown on this list.
I should have clarified myself. I'm only talking about the one that you have up on the board now that is the recommended project.
That would comprise of the 600-some-odd seat Diego Rivera Theater plus supporting spaces.
Yes, I saw that in your report, the 600, but I'm asking another question. Do you know what the square footage of this facility would be?
I don't.
Do you know what the height would be?
It's anticipated to be 2.5 floors in height.
Thank you. Have discussions been conducted between City College and the city about who pays for these parking spaces, whether it be a garage or open space? Have discussions been conducted between the developers and City College about parking and who pays for alternative parking to replace the parking that is lost?
Do you mean, Michael, sorry, on the lower reservoir or the upper reservoir?
I'm only talking about your owned space, the space that you bought a number of years ago. This space.
The upper reservoir.
That's a good qualification. Have any discussions been conducted, negotiations between City College and the developers about paying for parking, who pays for it, whether it be City College or the developers?
I can
help me with this?
James can clarify, but there's no parking structure proposed on the upper reservoir right now, and so they are not currently proposing any improvements to the surface parking.
Yeah, let me ask you a question.
Assuming the facilities recommended, the first one goes into play, were there any negotiations with the developers as to who pays for that parking structure?
I can answer that as well. So as you know, we have been working with the developer and this community, and it has always been our intent to make sure that the developer manages replacement parking that's of a suitable capacity for what they displace on the lower reservoir. And the developer, the city, and City College have been in ongoing and consistent discussions as this facilities plan has been adapted, as our Balboa Reservoir plans have been adapted. We want to satisfy the most efficient means of replacing whatever parking needs to be replaced. And so we're working on a number of options.
And that's on the lower reservoir, not the upper reservoir.
I think at this point it would likely be on the lower because the upper, as you can see here, is not planning any structure. They're not making any changes to parking. It's in the city's interest that when this the Balboa project is finally approved by our city, that we have plans in place that are outlined that say how the developer will fulfill that obligation and how they will work with City College as the main campus changes over the years.
In April of last year, Ken Rich sent a letter saying that they anticipated that there'd be a letter of intent by May of last year with respect to this parking resolution. Has there been a resolution reached yet?
There has not. We are working on that, and we are hoping to have a sort of a preliminary idea of how we could solve the parking issue in the next couple of months, and so we will keep you updated. We would like to get that out there prior to, obviously, next year when we're approving the project so that we have time to discuss it with you. But we will keep you updated. There's not yet been anything.
Yes, but you promised a year ago that you'd have something by May of last year, and then we're a year later, and we're still just getting guesses. Okay, thank you. I have a few more questions, and then I'll conclude. The study correctly says, I think, that there's need for parking between 2,000 to 3,000 spaces, depending on the time of day or whether it was the first week of school. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that's the current need?
Current need.
Yeah, okay. That's all I have.
So I see on the two maps from City College that North Drive has not been realigned to what shows up in the developer's plans to match up with Cloud Circle. Can you address that, please?
We haven't made that recommendation to the Board of Trustees, and for the purposes of this document, we haven't figured where it currently is.
So I'm gonna look back at the map that you have with the drive alone employee home location by zip code. So that one's a little concerning because the people that really we can get into or out of vehicles are the people that live closest and have access to transit. So is there a reason why, have you guys done studies on why they're not utilizing transit? I mean, I think that's a pretty low hanging fruit to eliminate some of your vehicle miles traveled.
Yes, we have studied it extensively, and the reasons are multiple, but the biggest ones are either perceived or real convenience in driving, concerns about before and after work activities, such as dropping off children or picking up things, the distance and the perceived or real difficulty in the BART connection to the campus, and lastly, cost. In many cases, the opinion of the person responding to the survey stated it was actually less expensive for them to drive than it was to take BART or whatever it is. So those are the four or five biggest reasons, but obviously we've got many of them.
Okay, so I think there's some potential solutions there.
Yes.
So reducing those trips. And the last thing I just mentioned is probably maybe not necessarily you, but in general, but you mentioned like a lot of students live within 1 to 2 miles
yes.
of campus, and really providing the last mile transit, so working more with Bay Area Bike
We're
Share.
We're losing you.
Working more with Bay Area Bike Share, seeing if you guys can, I don't know if there's a station on campus right now or not, but I know BART has one, so increasing that access.
I am happy to report that we have a Ford Go Bike station that was installed literally last week on Judson Street. We have plans for at least one more station on Frida Kahlo Way, and we received a grant to install 10 lockable bike lockers literally only a few months ago, and we are planning on putting those in on this campus between now and the end of this calendar year.
Excellent.
I have an additional question. I don't see the shuttle that was mentioned at the slides that were presented in March. as a one of the options of getting to BART, because it's going to be a long time, right? It's going to be years before that walk to the BART station is attractive. And so a shuttle is something that would make it possible for people, especially if you've got stuff, which many teachers do, you know, if they're going to come on BART. What about a shuttle?
It's one of the TDM study recommendations to increase the viability of that connection. We haven't taken action on that yet.
Okay. Did you want to ask?
What,
go ahead,
when you
go first.
When
you're
done.
I'll finish.
Okay. So I wanted to make a couple of comments and maybe one for Michael. The area that you were referring to on the side of the MUB was, there's nothing firm yet, but there is discussion about student housing there on the west side of the, so the future use area. And that's as far as it went. So it would be dorm-like structures with four or five bedrooms radiating off of a pod type thing.
Thank you, Richard, that's helpful.
And then the other thing I wanted to say is a lot of the drivers that you see in the areas right around here are employees or administrators, not students, and they are, especially the administrators, are kind of low-hanging fruit, if you will, to incentivize to ride bikes or to take other types of transportation. So that would be a significant savings right there. I also face the same thing as an employee of San Francisco State University, and I know that the one time when they raised the parking, everybody joined the union all of a sudden, so because that was one of our employee benefits. So for the community colleges, what you have is that it's regulated by the state. So there's some things that we can do, but community college parking in general is regulated by as a statewide system, and it's not up to us. It's $3 there to park, so who wouldn't, you know, park there and then just go to BART and shuttle or not and go into downtown? So that's another issue too.
On some of our preparatory notes, you mentioned the TDM strategies for reducing traffic and reducing the need for parking. You had it divided into core measures and additional measures. You didn't really mention those. Did you mention them just now? I'm not sure if you did. But the core measures is to manage the existing parking supply, create and advertise a carpool program, and revise and actively enforce a permit program, and adjust parking pricing to the extent that you can under the rules you were just talking about. But there's also an extra... there was an extra additional measures that you wanted to take that involved the use of the shuttle. And what were the other parts? I can't find it on my computer here.
It was to charge for parking.
To adjust.
Another major additional mitigation measure was to relatively severely change the pricing model for parking.
Would that be like a dynamic pricing that changes during the day depending on how much demand?
There are multiple strategies, but the way that it has been done in the past is to incentivize those periods of the day or those weeks of the year where there is unserved demand and price in such a way to lower the use of parking during those periods of time.
Okay. And if you could show the slide that shows, you had the bar chart of the parking. So those three horizontal lines are for the three scenarios, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and but that shows the parking demand is that during those. Can you explain that a little further exactly what that chart means?
The three horizontal bars represent scenario one supply, two supply, and three supply. The blue vertical bars represent the maximum demand for parking, which is in the first week of instruction, by the hour of the day. starting at 7 a.m. and peaking midday.
All right, I see.
And then the orange vertical bars is the demand for parking on a typical instructional week.
And do you have a slide that shows the shortfall of the parking under these different scenarios? For instance, if we use the core TDM,
yep.
the cheap version, how much what would be our shortfall, assuming that we have a housing in the reservoir, the Performing Arts Center, and there was a third.
So this one includes
scenario
just,
three.
Yeah, this includes just baseline plus Balboa Reservoir.
Uh-huh.
The supply is the 2,000 column, and then the demand first week of the year, and then typical week, and then the math is just across the top.
So then the shortfall is for
the third line, right? With core TDM.
Okay, all right, okay. So the unserved demand with core TDM is 1,000, we're 1,000 parking spots short, or is it?
Assuming a 25% increase in demand
mm-hmm.
between now and 2026, if you add all of that up, then yes, that's the 1,007.
Just the first week of instruction.
And then the rest of the time it's 220, only 220 spots short.
Correct.
So what can we do to mitigate the amount of demand there is during those first 2 weeks? What is it that happens on the campus that demands everybody drive to school? Is it just because they don't really know what's happening? They drive out of habit, or is there a reason why they all have to drive? Does everybody have to be on campus during that week, or can they do it online, or is it what can be done?
Can I could answer that maybe.
She does.
Okay. Yes, after 25 years of seeing the first week of classes at San Francisco State, it's as bad as here, maybe even worse. They've taken different types of mitigation approaches, such as valet parking, so that you can stack a lot more cars up during that week. And I believe the reason why is because sometimes you don't know what your class schedule is going to be, or a class gets canceled, or you don't get into a class, so you stay there a while, or you try to get into as many classes as you can. Once you have your schedule set, you are not there every day of the week anymore. You have your schedule set.
So what can we do to change that? is there any way that we could get people to would they know in advance is there any way for them to know online without actually coming in with classes they're going to be accepted into without having
okay,
to?
Okay, let me tell you, the short answer is no.
Okay.
Not yet, anyway.
I'll leave it there. So we're talking about a shortfall most of the year of 220 spots, and during those first 2 weeks of 1,007 spots.
Assuming 25% growth
right.
factor and core TDM measures being adopted.
And with the additional TDM measures, what would it end up at? 242 and zero?
That's what the study says.
And then when we implement those measures, how do we know that it's actually going to work? And what happens if it doesn't? I mean, is there any kind of penalty or any kind of what can we do to make sure that it actually does work? That it
okay,
has
so
teeth.
There's a roundabout way to answer this question. I've been involved with TDM mitigation measures many times in my career. Typically, the transportation engineers are very conservative in the benefit of a core or additional TDM measure. So my experience and the experience of most traffic engineers is that if they say, if we increase pricing, or if we have a shuttle to BART, or if we have some incentive program for clipper cards or something like that, those generally work out better than what the TDM measure will estimate.
And that was the case in Santa Monica and a few other places. And I guess SF State has a similar program.
All of the measures are incremental and reinforce each other. So if it's less expensive to use transportation or transit because you get a subsidy, and it costs more to park here, and there's a shuttle, those accumulate into a much bigger impact.